German was the language used. Most of the the majority of the residents were from the Sudeten areas of Czechoslovakia. But I did have a few Slovaks. There were two Polish people. There was one Hungarian family. They were all people who had lived in Prague for 6 months. That was it. If they had lived in Prague or in the Czech Republic, say, for 6 months prior to coming to England, they could be included in the Czech Refugee Trust Fund's assistance to refugees. That was how I had these other, the Poles and the Hungarian, because Hitler had attacked Poland long before he went into the Czech Republic, and the same with Austria and Hungary.
When the bombing started, you know, with the
fall bombing
of France,
started.
But were any of them interned?
The Battle of Britain.
Yes,
began very soon after we were there.
I wondered if any were interned after the
fall
of France.
Yes, some people were, because this was so peculiar. Czechoslovakia had been part of the Habsburg Empire. So middle-aged people, their passports were still passports from the time of the Habsburg Empire, and they thought they were Austrians, and therefore they were interned.
Would you like one of
those? Until the situation clarified, and it was a bit of a muddle, especially as a lot of them couldn't speak Czech. They could only speak German, because if they'd lived in the Sudeten areas, that was the language that they spoke. And some of my people, you know, came later. There were two coachloads, I think, that came with people, two coaches, on the day that the hostel was opened, and then a great big pantechnicon with the beds and the equipment that came at the same time. It was amazing to me how quickly these people were able to elect a committee amongst their members, so many men, so many women, to see to the allocation. I had so little to do, actually, on the practical side, because they were so competent. Some of them, you see, had come from other hostels, wish to be with their own compatriots, with the Sudeten people, a lot of them knew each other from the Czech where they lived, where they had come from, the same towns, and they elected their house committee, the cooks, people who were going to help in the garden, the main gardener, who was a qualified horticulturalist, by the way. He was a lovely person, and the roses were lovely during the war. There were practical people who saw to the boilers and got them going, you know, they were engineers. Oh, we had Chiropodist amongst them, and he undertook to look after all any and everybody that needed chiropody. We we did have a qualified dentist, but we had no dental equipment, and he was very quickly absorbed into the health service. I think he had to take further examinations here. We had retired medical people. There were at least two qualified nurses.
It sounds like a proper community.
It was. They were a really remarkable. I don't know quite how to put it. They very quickly coalesced. You know, the house mother was appointed, the house father. And the allocation of room, it all went so smoothly. It was incredible. And I, of course, still had my flat. It wasn't a flat, it was on two floors. Next door, so that was no problem. And Reg was still with me in 1940.
And the girls were very happy in their school, I suppose. The girls would have been happy in their school.
There was a young Czechoslovak girl of about 18. She was appointed to take care of the young children. There were some young children. Not the present ambassador, but the previous ambassador about 2 years ago. He now lives at Highgate West Hill because he has an English wife now. He was 2 years old when he came to my hostel, and he's the same age as my Margie. He's 69, yes. But that's just an age. He came with his parents, of course, who have since died. He went back when they all went back to the Czech Republic
And at this time, your daughters were still in their little progressive school.
I'm sorry.
Your Celia and Margaret
were at Aspley Guys.
Yes, and with that lovely little school which had been evacuated.
Yes, yes,
there.
They were there. Mm. And at the weekends, I or Reg went to see them. Till Reg went into the army. Mm.
And of course the Blitz started, didn't
then
it?
Then the Blitz started.
So
the nearest bomb fell about 200 yards from the hostel. It was a landmine. And there's now a little garden in Portage Green Road. The main street is just called Portage Green, because there is a road called Portage Green Road, which is a sort of continuation. But if you had your A to Z here, I'd show it to you. And Midhurst Road was where the bomb fell, on the corner of Portage Green and Midhurst Road, and there is now a little green, small space, about third of, maybe a half this room, or third of this room, and nobody was killed.
Did you have shelters at the
hospital? Yes, the Czech Trust Fund, in the basement masonettes. My masonette was an upper half of the store, of the one house. The other three masonettes, I had refugees living there. I was the only parent who, having had a masonette, remained behind. The other three took their children and went to stay with grandparents in Devon. Two went to Devon, one went to either Scotland or Cornwall, I can't remember which now. But they left, I didn't, I stayed, because my two girls had gone with the school. And when Reg went into the army, then I used to go every weekend to Aspley. to the children, to my children. The lovely old house had stables, and we parents became very ingenious too. Some of my Czech engineers helped to install two slow-burning combustion stoves about the stables, because there were no horses there then. And parents arranged for bedding and beds to come down. Half the parents came alternate weekends, because there wasn't enough accommodation for them to stay in the stables overnight. Those that didn't stay came every weekend just for the day, and some of them took a room in the village. They got accommodation and paid for bed and breakfast in the village, and they came every weekend. But it was, you can't really relive your emotions at the time. We knew there was a vague possibility that a stray bomber might get as far as Woven. In fact, there was one. And in what the children called the cow field, one bomb fell. I think it was a German plane that had been chased off course and was unloading before trying to avoid the flak and the English fighter planes, and it must have unloaded whatever bombs it had left. One bomb fell. The children also had a reinforced basement in Aspligais, and when the planes were anywhere near them, they all had to go down to this shelter. Miraculously, only one child out of all the children suffered parental loss. He lost his father in the fighting, on active service, and his mother was killed in an air raid in London. And he was adopted by one of the teachers of the school. So Derek was not a deserted child, left with nobody. He was looked after. Of course, he wasn't told immediately about this. He didn't know until the war was over, and he was older. And
I understand with your your job as the warden of the Czech hostel,
yes,
that something was done to commemorate Lidice.
Oh yes, the rose garden of Lidice. Did Margaret mention that to you?
Well, she did. She mentioned it briefly, but she said you would explain what had happened.
When the war was over and the people had gone back to the Czechoslovak Republic, because they were not divided at those days, the organisation, the Lidice Shall Live Committee, which had people from all over England sent money to buy rose bushes that carried, slips saying this was bought by. We have four rose bushes in the garden from Reg, me, Celia, Margie. And there are a lot of documents. Now, when all the trust fund affairs were all being wound up, I was asked whether I could house the documents, because the Czech Friendship Club, of course, no longer existed, and the offices of the Czech Trust Fund were closed, and I think because my daughter Margaret had such a love affair with the Czech Republic, she went over to see the children that she had met during the war, because the school at Aspley Guys did close during the holidays, Easter, summer, Christmas. In the summertime, it took a house in Cornwall, and those parents who couldn't possibly have their children with them, their children came to Cornwall. In my own case, wherever the school had a property, I went and rented a small cottage so that Reg, myself, and then when Reg went into the army, one of my sisters came with me with her small children, and we rented this cottage right near where the school had rented a place. So Margaret, who remembers nothing of her early years, remembers quite a lot by the time she was three. Her fellow three-year-olds, two of whom really have made their mark. One was a fashion designer in the 60s. She and somebody else. And when you get to meet Margaret, she will tell you their names. We are still in touch with adults who were children with Celia and Margaret at Aspley Guys. One is a lecturer, he's retired now, at Manchester University. One was a lecturer at Bradford University. They're part of the family, really. They ring me occasionally. Their parents, in the case of Steve, his parents died a long time ago. Pat's parents died a long time ago. And they phone me as if I'm their surrogate mother.
Could you tell me more about this Lidice Memorial? Was there a special rose garden laid out? Whereabouts was it?
Well, it's not a very long journey from Prague. What happened was that Hitler's Gauleiter, or representative...
Oh, yes, I know the story.
Oh, you do know the story.
Yes, but just the memorial, you know.
Well, the memorial is just a garden of rose bushes.
And where is that?
I would have to go to Prague.
Oh, I see. It's in Czechoslovakia. It's in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's in the village where the Germans murdered every male. Every male was sent to a concentration camp or murdered on the spot, because they were trying to find who had killed the Gauleiter of Hitler. Gotten his name now. The women, some of the children were sent to Germany, yes, from the village. It was called the village that was murdered.
Well, it's a lovely idea, having a rose
garden. And it is now, I don't know whether anybody lives there. When I see Pavel, I will ask him. He comes to see me here sometimes.
So the money came from the fund?
And the money came from ordinary... People gave money for the rose bushes to be bought. Wheatcroft had developed his peace rose, and he, I think, advised whoever was put in response, was made responsible for the rose garden. That had nothing to do with me. I don't know anything about that. But Margie has all the documents, and there may be some information. She'd have them in her attic, I think, or somewhere or other. And she would be, she'd said, well, after all, the Rose Garden, I think, with contributions came from all over Europe, not only here. There's the English section, there are French section, and I don't know details about it. I only know that when the idea was suggested, we responded, and I went to see it once. When I went to visit Prague, I was taken to Lidice. That's how I know that it's there, and there was a sort of memorial inscription telling the story of what happened in this village. Whether that is still so, I don't know, because the last time I went to Prague was, I think, in 2005, the year I became 100. I went to take my farewell of a city that I loved very, very much. But I didn't visit Lidice then.
So really, that was your war work. Mm. In World War Two, your war work
was the hostel.
With the hostel and
June
refugees.
1940 until the war was over and the hostel closed and the school reopened. Yes. But the school reopened in a different form. It was far more a creche and for very, very young children. When it originally opened, it took children to the age of 9 plus.